The theme for tonight, welcome again, is gratitude overflowing. Transform your life, mind, and soul. And we're blessed to have Reverend Wendy and student Michelle to share in healing dialogue. And let me share a bit about them both. Wendy Grant. Reverend Wendy Grant is a mother of two, an author, an interfaith ordained minister with CLM, a hypnotist, Reiki, and IET practitioner. She's a spiritual counselor, but mostly she considers herself an eternal student of life. She knows we have the ability to turn any wound into healing if we choose, and our entire purpose for being here is to learn and to grow and evolve for our soul's highest healing and highest good. She is committed and dedicated to restoring spiritual balance to our world, and her aim is to be of service in any way possible in the growth and the development of fulfilling, meaningful lives and those she encounters. Michelle Zanoni Chin is a spiritual creative artist, a healer, and a dreamer. She's an amazing artist, and her artwork is influenced by her diverse background as a textile and product designer, feng shui consultant, and energy healer. She creates channeled, one-of-a-kind commissioned paintings that are portals of light and transmission of divine frequency. Michelle is also a student at CLM and a member of the Golden Age Movement. She lives in Sedona with her husband, Carrie, and their puppy, Pearl. Welcome, Wendy and Michelle.
Thank you so much, Liza.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing. Hello, everyone, and welcome to tonight's Celebrating Life Ministries once-a-month teleclass called Gratitude Overflowing. Transform your mind, life, and soul. As Liza, so sweet. I'm Reverend Wendy Grant, and I'm really excited to be here with Michelle Zanoni Chin, and of course, all of you. I have to say it like that, I'm sorry, to discuss the many benefits of living life in gratitude. Before we start, I want to thank you, Liza, for your beautiful prayers. Your voice always sounds like an angel to me when you're reading prayers. You have so much grace, it just flows out of you. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And I'd also like to thank you, Michelle. It's always a little scary saying yes when God calls us to step up. So thank you very much for saying yes to join me on this call. Would it be okay if you start us off with an opening prayer?
Absolutely. Be my pleasure. So dear Father, Mother, who is innocent and pure, holy, is the ground you walk upon. May love be seen as all that is, and may the earth be experienced as heaven is. Nourish us this evening with your Holy Spirit and graceful heart, and allow us all to receive your great gift of gratitude and grace. Restore us this evening with your healing light and holy sacred vision of truth and love. Help us to create holy ground where all hearts open so we can receive the gifts of your spirit. I call upon the holy ones, the great beings of light, the ascended masters, and the archangels. I call to the Paramjyoti, the great compassionate light. Create a nourishing container, a sacred space for sharing our hearts and opening our minds. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayers, Michelle. Thank you. Thank you so much for helping us to open our hearts to the gift and the practice of gratitude. And it certainly is both of those things, right? Gratitude is a gift. And when we truly learn the value and the blessings that being grateful brings into our lives, but boy, oh boy, it really is a practice. Right. Yeah. Having gratitude, it can be, and it usually is really difficult at first. But once we start experiencing the benefits and the glorious transformations that can take place in our lives, it becomes much easier to be open to this beautiful way of living. So let's dive into this. Why is gratitude so important? And can it really help us in our daily lives? Why do people make it sound so easy? And quite simply, why should we be grateful when things stink? Why? There are literally horrible atrocities happening right this second all around the world. And here we are talking about having gratitude. It's really hard to think about to think about being grateful when we're dealing with the most difficult moments in our lives. Although it has been my experience that something good, usually and almost always, something good does come out of the most challenging of times. Well, we've all heard the story or expression that after a forest fire, when time passes, the land becomes more fertile and that life grows back even fuller and stronger than it was before. And if we human beings are open to it, the same can be true for us. As a matter of fact, the first law of Buddhism is that life is difficult. And it is. It really is. A dear friend of mine who is now on the other side of the veil, he used to call Earth the pain factory. It was like, okay, David. He did. God never promised us a perfect life with no problems. But he, she, whoever God is to you, promises to walk by our side every step of the way. And you know what? That in itself, that is something to be really grateful for. I have always believed that our soul came into this incarnation, this lifetime, you know, in all of our lifetimes, to have the full human experience, to feel joy, to feel sadness, to feel anger, and to feel every emotion in between. Our soul made an agreement to come here to Earth to learn, grow, and evolve for its highest healing and highest good from all that it experiences in each lifetime. Well, it's funny because it seems as though we human beings tend to learn more from the experience of overcoming trauma and difficult situations than we do when life is easy. What do you think about that, Michelle? Do you agree?
Actually, I really do agree with you. I have had many hardships and difficulties and many traumas in my life, and they have actually, in the end, led to gratitude, so to speak. In 2006, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It came out of the blue, and it was a huge shock. Of course, it had to be a very rare cancer, and only 2 surgeons were able to treat this kind of cancer in the U.S. At the time, I was currently working for a company called Allure, and my boss, Stanley Ho, he treated me like family. I had already been working there for about 5 years when all of this happened, and I anticipated needing to help my mother after her initial surgery. You know, we were told it's a really difficult surgery. They can be very long, and this kind of cancer, these patients can have up to 14 surgeries. So I was really anticipating that this could be really difficult. So very generously, Stanley gave me a 4-day work week and a $20,000 yearly increase. I was in charge of designing bath products for Walmart, and our business was somewhere around, you know, $50 million at retail. It was a huge account. And needless to say, it was a huge amount of pressure, and I needed to always be hyper-vigilant with that account. So, of course, as life would have it, I had a huge presentation for Walmart the week before, I mean, the week after my mom was to have her surgery. So Stanley assured me that family comes first and work is always there. He told me I would always be his family and that he would always take care of me, that I had nothing to worry about. So I flew from New Jersey to Omaha, Nebraska, where the surgery was. Her surgery lasted 12 and a half hours, and by the grace of God, she came through beautifully. We were all elated. It was quite a miracle, seriously. I stayed the rest of that first week in Omaha while she continued to recover that next following week. So I returned to work grateful on Monday morning, ready to dive into the presentation. As always, my salesman, Steve, met me to continue looking over what we would be presenting. But weirdly, I could not get into my computer. I kept typing in my password and nothing was happening. I kept trying, but something was really off. Finally, Steve said to me, "Michelle, stop. Stanley has fired you." I couldn't speak. I think shocked was beyond what I was feeling, and I kept trying to get into my computer. It's like I wouldn't register. I just kept trying to get into that computer. Awkwardly, eventually, though, I gathered all my belongings. I really had no choice, and I walked out of the building. I don't remember driving home. I don't remember those first few days. I couldn't tell anyone. I felt so much shame. I felt so deeply betrayed by someone who said they had my back and that they would always take care of me. You know, he was family. So I spent the summer taking care of my mom, which in many ways was serendipitous, because if I was still working, I would not have had that quality time with her. And for that, I was also grateful. I could spend that entire summer just taking care of her. So eventually, life moved on. I did get hired by another company called Better Bath, and I wound up designing wire shower caddies, tub mats, and bath pillows for 9 years.
Wow.
So, I know. However, I never got over that betrayal with Stanley. I even cried every single time I thought about it. You know, it was like a fresh wound all the time. He never spoke to me after that, and he never told me why I was fired. I just couldn't let go of that pain. It was so deep for me, and it was kind of like this badge that I carried, you know, this pain badge. So around 2015, Better Bath closed their doors, and I was in need of another job. I swore I would never design wire shower caddies again. However, I know, wire shower caddies, right? However, another opportunity presented for exactly the same job in exactly the same way, and I grabbed it, even though I knew it was going to be very, very difficult. So my first real active day on that job, I had to fly to Chicago for the biggest trade show for all of the housewares for that industry. And I was excited to check out all the trends and get my head into some new product that I'd be able to bring to market. Lo and behold, as the universe would have it, I ran into Steve, my old salesman, who told me Stanley had a booth and that they would be there every single day.
Oh,
actually, you know, I panicked. The last thing I wanted to do was run into him. So I knew I was going to stay far away from that area. But that night, I told Carrie, my boyfriend at the time, my now husband, I told him what had happened. And as he often does, he said, "Michelle, you know you have to go see him, don't you?" And I was like, "Are you serious? Are you kidding me?" She said, the universe is giving you an opportunity to make things right. He explained that the situation wasn't yet complete and that I was living a story that was actually not the truth. And it continued to take from me like I was leaking from that betrayal. I knew I had some past life karma with Stanley. I needed to face him. More for me than him. And apparently I betrayed him in a past life. So the next morning, very early, I took the time, I found their booth, and I saw him from a distance. I'm telling you, Wendy, I must have circled that booth a million times before I could really have the courage to face him. It was really hard. So I walked up. Tears came into my eyes, but I managed to smile through those tears, which he did see, and then we talked. He called me girl, as he always did, and we exchanged pleasantries in a gingerly way. And then eventually we did hug each other, and we hugged each other in an honest embrace, you know. Again, through tears, I thanked him for the years that we worked together. And that I would always love him. I mean, he really was like family to me. And he did ask me to come and visit him at the office whenever I had a chance. Wow. My heart went from aching to expanding. And I truly felt the love I always had for him. It was strange. Sri Bhagwan says, gratitude is a natural outcome of feeling and or experiencing anything fully. And in that moment, I sincerely felt gratitude expand in my heart. And then I felt the burden lift. I really couldn't believe it, but it was true. Something shifted.
Wow, that's really powerful, Michelle. It's amazing what time can do and confronting situations like that. And I'm so glad that you were able to have that healing.
Yeah, it was really important. It allowed me to kind of move on, finally, after 9 or more years, right?
It's amazing how we hold on to things. And it shows how something good can come out of the most difficult of times. You know, it took me a few years to agree with Padre Paul when he said, it's all good, even the bad is good. I was like, what? What is he talking about, really? That was extremely hard for me to wrap my head around when I first came to Celebrating Life. But I really get this now. I really get this, and I really believe it with all my heart and soul. And with that being said, you know, having gratitude for all of our experiences, no matter what they are, is what gives us the ability to learn, grow, and evolve, which again is what I believe to be our entire purpose for being here. Living in gratitude can be used as a form of prayer, as well as experiencing a relationship with God, you know, whoever God is to you. It can also be used as an incredible tool for manifesting, right? Being thankful, it's so powerful. It's so powerful that one can use it in prayer and in visualizations. It can help us create whatever we want in our lives. I remember reading from Conversations with God, right? Neil Donald Walsh.
Yeah.
He taught a great book. Wasn't it? God,
yeah.
Back in the day, I remember reading that book, and he taught the importance of thanking God in advance as if you already have what you want in your life. I'll never forget reading his book and how much that lesson impacted me back then.
You know, that's really interesting. Yeah, I believe that because, you know, Greg Braden.
Mm-hmm.
He has a really wonderful book on prayer. It's called Secrets, The Lost Mode of Prayer. And he talks about the Native Americans and how they thank the divine in advance as if their prayer had already happened. He also found that the feeling and believing as if the prayer had already happened was of really great importance. In fact, he learned from his research that feeling is the prayer. And this seems to be, you know, a common practice through many cultures and spiritual teachers.
I know. I love hearing about all of these different teachings from all of these different teachers. There's so many different versions and styles, right? And
yeah.
It never gets old. It never gets old. Because having gratitude truly has the power to change our perspective from a negative way of thinking to a much more positive thought process. You know, this is funny. You can laugh. I have a quote for you that I actually saw on Facebook from Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
He says, all of life is perspective. You will always have some kind of conflict going on in your life. We must learn how to enjoy life. Believe it or not, it is our choice. We need to adjust our perspective on everything. Would you rather cry in the storm or dance in the rain? I love that. And anyway, when we begin to live our lives in true gratitude, we open the door. We open the door to a new way of living. We just do. And I want to share an example of how this simple practice of changing the words that we use each day can help change our entire life. So in the morning, instead of saying, I have to do this and this and this, try starting your day with, I get to do. I get to eat healthy today, right? I get to work out today. I get to go to work and earn money today. I get to see my friends or family today. I get to make a difference in someone's life today. How much more powerful is that, right?
Yeah,
life is all about perspective. When we're able to change our thinking by living in the conscious state of gratitude, it gives us the ability to change our life. Have you found that to be true in your life?
Yeah, I have. You know, I studied feng shui for many years. And although I don't really agree with a lot of what I learned in regard to that, we keep growing and changing and evolving. But I found out that what we surround ourselves with in our spaces, our homes, our offices, definitely contributes to our perspective and our state of mind. So one of the things to bring gratitude into our lives that I found really helpful is surrounding ourselves, yourself, with images and visuals, whether they're pictures or sculptures or actual written words that remind us of all our blessings. I even often suggest to my clients that perhaps they can set up a very special sacred space, an altar, where they can bring their blessings, their items, and thank God for all that they have in their lives. Now, this can bring them into a state of gratitude, and it definitely brings them closer to God, closer to the divine, closer to whoever it is that they are praying to. It's really pretty fantastic.
It really is. I couldn't agree with you more. And of course, I say the same things to people in my life and my clients. You know, this reminds me of what Bishop Bobby says. Bobby says, gratitude is the key to everything. It is the answer to every problem. Even in the midst of the most horrific moments, thanking God out loud brings him or her in. Because gratitude is the key to opening the door. And once the door is open, awareness and consciousness will just pour in. It may not be what you think you need, but it will pour in. Because the divine absolutely loves the atmosphere of gratitude, right? Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah.
Love you, Bobby.
We love you.
With that being said, we're like giggly girls. With that being said, I truly believe that gratitude is the hallmark of all healing. And, you know, I want to tell you that I think it's really important that you all understand that I know firsthand how hard it can be to be grateful when bad things happen. It's ridiculously hard to think about having gratitude in those moments. This brings me back to so many of the darkest times in my life, but we clearly don't have time for all of them. Nope. But I'd like to share some of what I've recently gone through.
Okay.
I'd say over the last 3 to 4 years, I've been working on selling my apartment in New York City. It's been my home with my children for almost 11 years. You know, to save money when this whole thing started, I spent almost a year painting my whole apartment myself. The broker actually told me that I actually had to renovate my kitchen just so I'd be able to sell my apartment. I don't know how it works in other places, but in New York City, things have to be perfect, show ready. That's fun. Of course, the construction took way longer than it was supposed to, as construction always does. And when I was finally able to put it on the market, the world, as well as the real estate market, had already begun to collapse. Prices were dropping everywhere, and mortgage rates kept going higher and higher. It was extremely daunting. For those of you on this call who know me, I'm pretty dedicated to all of my daily practices. I pray, I meditate, I work out, I walk, I breathe, I take a lot of deep breaths all day long, I really do. And I preach to anyone who comes my way the importance of living in faith and trust, and that everything will happen in God's time, right? It's all about the divine timing. We all know that expression, you know, we make plans and God laughs. I would like to think that God doesn't really laugh, but you know what I mean. I really do preach, and I believe what I preach, but I have to be honest. During this time, there were days when my light was really dim and fear really crept through. And
I bet it did.
Total fear. It was big.
Yep.
It was big.
Yeah.
Fear of the unknown. It took over. I must have asked out loud dozens of times, is this apartment ever going to sell? Am I going to be broke? Like, what's going to happen here? Am I going to get through this? But most importantly, my big question in all of these situations, whenever something is off or wrong, I always ask, what am I supposed to learn from this? So my maintenance kept going up, and it was already so high. I live in a co-op in New York City, which nobody wants in a good market, right? And on top of that, I have this crazy high maintenance. I promised my kids when we moved into this beautiful apartment, I promised them that I would keep it until my son graduated college. And here we are, like 10 and a half years later. I really, really need to downsize and get out of this. And it's not selling. Nothing's happening. Now, let me see. I'm going to jump back for a minute here. Okay, yeah. It was literally a month before COVID hit when this crazy thing happened around the corner. A pipe burst on my street, and it caused severe damage to my building and everything around my street. It was crazy. It flooded our basement, the boiler room, the elevators. It demolished the laundry room, everything. One of our commercial tenants who owned a gym that was downstairs, they got flooded and went Chapter 11. And that left our building with the expenses rising. I had no idea how bad things were about to get. This cost our building a fortune. And our maintenance, it began to rise. And for the first time since I lived there, because it really didn't, the maintenance really maintained the same until this happened. At that time, I kept my car in a garage across the street. Like most garages in New York City, it's also below ground. the entire garage was flooded. I thought for sure my car was gone. And when I went down to the garage to check on it, it was literally one of maybe 15 cars that were untouched by the flood. I could not believe it. I couldn't believe it. I recorded it with my phone because my eyes couldn't believe what I was seeing. I'm like, there's my car in the left, dry, and then I'm scanning my phone to the right, and it goes down the slope, and there's an entire garage filled with water. It a few hundred cars were demolished that day. It was just ridiculous. But here in the midst of this water disaster, I had a miracle. I mean, it was a complete miracle. I was so grateful. And even though our building lost power, we didn't have power for a few days, we had to walk up and down 21 flights of stairs if we needed anything. Mm. I felt so much gratitude. I felt so much gratitude for not losing my car that day. Couldn't believe how blessed I was. And just grateful to God for saving my car, right?
Yeah, grateful, that was a great miracle. Yep.
It really was. And then 1 month later, literally 1 month later, COVID hit. And everyone knows New York City was ground zero. I was even more grateful for my car when that happened, because I guess it was after around 2 or 3 months, we escaped New York City. It was insane. But that's a whole other story, so I'm going to not get into that one. So here we are, it's COVID and our building. We then lost our two other big retail tenants, a dry cleaner and a huge restaurant. We were in COVID shutdown around the world. They couldn't afford their rent. That was it. These businesses were only able to survive by us allowing them to not pay rent for months. And then when the world slowly started to crawl back, they were paying 50% for almost 2 years. You know how crazy that is and what that did to all of the tenants in my building? I mean, this put all of the residential tenants who lived in my building in their own financial crisis. As our maintenance kept going up, go up and up, I was like, what is happening? And that's exactly when I began cleaning out my apartment to try and sell it. How am I getting out of this? I asked myself that question. It was like way too many times to count. Although I really did keep hearing my guides tell me that it's all going to be okay, right? Be patient, have faith and trust, have faith and trust. So wait a second here. I apologize. I'm going a little bit out of order because so many things happened and I'm leaving out a bunch. But somewhere during all of this, and it took a long time, but I was finally able to put my apartment on the market. And this is really interesting, right? Here I have this co-op and whatnot. We put it on the market, and I quickly got an offer. And I remember thinking to myself, God must really love me. This happened so fast. I was like, look at that. And just as fast, literally I think it was a day or two, the buyer changed his mind because he didn't want to deal with a co-op. So that was that. Quite humbling. I was like chopped down to my knees there. And then hardly anyone came to see my apartment. It was like the biggest tease, right? Here, someone's going to buy it almost at asking price and then not. Whew. So last summer, I started to spiral. I started to fall into a dark place. I was terrified, really. And not one person came to see my apartment from May to October, and it could have been April. That's a long time. Not one person. I had many moments where I was freaking out. I was really scared. I mean, I can't say that I totally lost my faith, because deep, deep in my heart, I felt that it would eventually be okay. I just had no clue of when I was going to be okay and if I was going to go broke before that. I definitely lost my temper. in a lot of situations that I'm not proud of. One day I even yelled at my broker and I blamed her. None of this is clearly her fault. This was not meant to happen on my timing. There were too many lessons that I needed to learn from this, like patience again, trust and faith in God's divine plan, and of course, gratitude for all that I do have. Okay, and then in November, this is the really hard part. My beloved cat of over 14 years out of nowhere, he quickly got really sick, and he was diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer under his tongue. And within 3 weeks, right after Thanksgiving, we had to put him to sleep. I have relived that moment of putting him to sleep over and over and over. Many people say, oh, it's just a cat. But Kitty was not just a cat. He was so much more than that to me, to my son, my daughter. He was one of us. He was our family. We were devastated, clearly still not over it. His passing really broke me. I cried for over 2 months straight, and I'm not kidding. It was just water pouring out of my eyes, basically nonstop every day. I don't remember ever crying so much for so long in my life. I've been through a lot of death in my life. Here I am, an ordained minister, right? I've been on my spiritual journey for over 40 years. I supposedly have all these tools to get me through life and a complete understanding of the journey of the soul. I've taught these tools to so many people, yet I could not find one of these tools. The pain was just too much to bear. Through it all, though, the one tool I still had was that right before I fell asleep and as soon as I woke up every single day, my first thought in prayer was, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for my life. And thank you, God, for all that I have. You know, having gratitude for all that I did and do have has always helped me to get through the most difficult of times.
That's great.
As I said, I've been through so many depths starting at a young age, but the passing of Kitty, boy, that was so gut-wrenchingly painful that I couldn't really think about anything else. I completely stopped worrying about the sale of my apartment. Like, quite simply, I really didn't care anymore. My grieving took away all of my financial anxiety. So there it was, gratitude in the midst of deep, deep sadness. I thank Kitty still for taking care of me while in spirit.
Aww.
It wasn't until late February when things changed. For those of you who don't know, like many of you on this call, I also belong to another beautiful spiritual community called Oneness. And like I almost called you Karina, my daughter, Michelle. That's funny. She's not into Oneness. One of the members started doing a Sunday healing session where miracles were happening. So I was like, I'm in. I want miracles. On my second weekend of doing this interactive healing meditation, I'm setting my intentions on my apartment being sold and finding my new perfect home. The floodgates opened. It was unbelievable. People started coming to see my apartment literally every other day for 2 weeks. I was like, what just happened? This beautiful couple, they wrote me a love letter about how much they love my apartment and want to raise their three children there. So sweet. They very quickly made an offer, and within a few weeks, we went into contract. Total miracle. A business deal that I've been working on for a year also went into contract right around the same time. Within 2 weeks, the divine had taken care of my financial crisis in one full swoop. It was like, whoosh. Right? Sri Kalki, the great compassionate light, Sri Amma Bhagavan, they brought me the perfect buyers. They brought the perfect buyers to my apartment on divine time. It was a complete and utter miracle. There is no one who could convince me otherwise. And, you know, just to let you know where I am right now, it's Monday, May 6th, and my apartment closes on May 15th, and I still don't know where I'm moving. But my apartment's closing, so hallelujah. I'm not done yet, right? I'm still cooking, so to speak. The difference now is that I'm in complete and total surrender. I'm listening very closely to wherever God, the great compassionate light, my angels, my guides, wherever they're leading me, I have no doubt that I'll be led exactly where I'm meant to go. But each time I lost my God space during this long opportunity for my soul to grow, I would pull myself back by saying out loud, trust and faith, trust and faith, trust and faith, and thank you, God, for everything. And as difficult as all of this was, I learned so much. And this experience has sincerely brought me closer to my divine with even a deeper understanding of how even the bad is good. So thank you, Padre, for that incredible lesson. Really appreciate it.
And that is one incredible lesson.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was really able to feel all your pain and your stress and your heartache. It's amazing how our lives can be very challenging here on planet Earth. So I believe this is where our trust and faith is of the greatest service. So thank you for opening your heart so completely. I know that was a really, really tough to get through. And it took me a really long time to know true gratitude, the kind of gratitude that's a divine emergence from our heart. I've noticed that gratitude is a gift that often comes as a result of kindness. You know, acts of kindness bring people into a place of gratitude as well. So I'd like to share a sweet story that illustrates this, and it's something I heard at a chapel service. And this little story is true, and it's called Love What Matters. One day, a man saw an old lady stranded by the side of the road. But even in the dim light of day, he could see she really needed help. So he pulled over in front of her Mercedes, and he got out. His Pinto was still sputtering when he approached her. Even with the smile on his face, you know, she was worried. No one had stopped to help her for the last hour or so. Was he going to hurt her? He didn't look safe. He looked poor and hungry. He could see that she was frightened, standing out there in the cold. He knew how she felt. It was that chill which only fear can put in you. He said, "I'm here to help you, ma'am. Why don't you wait in the car where it's warm? By the way, my name is Brian Anderson." Well, all she had was a flat tire, but for an old lady, that was really bad enough. Brian crawled under the car looking for a place to put the jack, skinning his knuckles a time or two. Soon he was able to change the tire, but he had to get dirty and his hands really hurt. As he was tightening up the lug nuts, she rolled down the window and began to talk to him. She told him that she was from St. Louis and was only just passing through. She couldn't thank him enough for coming to her aid. O'Brien just smiled as he closed her trunk. The lady asked how much she owed him. Any amount would have been all right with her. She already imagined all the awful things that could have happened had he not stopped. But, you know, Brian never thought twice about being paid. This was not a job to him. This was helping someone in need, and God knows there were plenty who had given him a hand in the past. He had lived his whole life that way, and it never occurred to him to act any other way. He told her that if she really wanted to pay him back, the next time she saw someone who needed help, she could give that person the assistance they needed. And Brian added, "And think of me." He waited until she started her car and drove off. It had been a cold and depressing day, but he felt so good as he headed for home, disappearing into the twilight. A few miles down the road, the lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite to eat and to take the chill off before she made that last leg of her trip home. It was a dingy-looking restaurant. There were two old gas pumps outside, and the
whole scene just was really unfamiliar to her. So the waitress came over and brought a clean towel to wipe her wet hair. She had a sweet smile, one that even being on her feet all day couldn't erase. The lady noticed the waitress was nearly 8 months pregnant, but she never let the strain and aches change her attitude. The old lady wondered how someone who had so little could be giving to a stranger. Then she remembered Brian. She remembered him. After the lady finished her meal, she paid with a $100 bill. The waitress quickly went to get change for her $100 bill, but the old lady had slipped out the door. She was gone by the time the waitress came back. The waitress wondered where the lady could be. Then she noticed something written on the napkin. There were tears in her eyes when she read what the lady wrote. "You don't owe me anything. I have been there too. Somebody once helped me out the way I am helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here is what you do. Do not let this chain of love end with you." Then under the napkin were four more $100 bills. Well, there were tables to clear, sugar bowls to fill, and people to serve, but the waitress made it through another day. That night, when she got home from work and climbed into bed, she was thinking about the money and what the lady had written. How could the lady have known how much she and her husband needed it? With the baby due next month, it really was going to be hard. She knew how worried her husband was, and if he lay sleeping next to her, she gave him a soft kiss and whispered soft and low, "Everything's going to be all right. I love you, Brian Anderson."
Ah, so sweet.
And I know. I love that story. And I know I learned gratitude from experiencing kindness like this one. Just last month, I received a simple, heartfelt text from a very dear, special friend who was acknowledging me and something I had shared on one of our calls. I can't explain how much gratitude I felt just from that simple gesture. Because, you know, in our busy lives, the fact that he took the time to acknowledge me in that way filled me with a deep sense of gratitude. And I really felt my heart again open in that moment. So, you know, my point in sharing this, right,
yeah,
is that even the smallest act of kindness can truly touch another person's life. It's a way of giving and receiving the divine. So I'd just like everyone to take a moment, close your eyes, place your hand on your heart, and really feel something that you are grateful for. That feeling of gratitude, that resides in your heart. It does not reside in your mind. I often witness my husband doing this. You know, we may be sharing a meal or just having a conversation together, and I'll look over and notice that he has his eyes closed, he has a smile on his face, and he's radiating this light and love while he's feeling the presence and the gratitude of God in that moment. And of course, I then close my eyes. And I'm brought into, I know, and I'm brought, it's a great reminder. It just brings me into a state of gratitude and love. We often do really learn from the actions of those around us. It's just such a blessing. And here is a quote I found by Albert Schweitzer. "At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us. Isn't that amazing?
Love it. Oh my God, I totally love it. Thank you for sharing that story. You know, the entire purpose of our call is to help inspire others with this beautiful practice of gratitude. And the way you express doing random acts of kindness as a tool for creating gratitude from within our hearts, that really moved me, Michelle. I loved it. I loved it.
Great. You know, I'm so happy.
When we have gratitude reciprocates.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you shared in your story. You know, to me, it's like a mirroring behavior, you know. The more gratitude I have, the more faith and trust I have. And the more faith and trust I have, the more gratitude I have. And then it's like whichever one I need seems to come forward, bringing the other one with it. It's magical. It's powerful. This work is really beautiful.
It's really amazing.
It
I
is.
Feel like I keep saying that because it is.
It is. I think this would be a good time for us to start sharing some of our favorite quotes.
Okay.
I'm gonna start with Alan Cohen, who is one of my favorite authors. Alan says, gratitude, like faith, is a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it grows, and the more power you have to use it on your behalf. To be grateful is to find blessings in everything. This is the most powerful attitude to adopt, for there are blessings in everything.
Yeah, there really are. There's always something we can find, right?
Yep.
So this quote is from Sri Bhagwan. In your life, you must learn to take a positive look at things, and good things will happen to you. And even the negative things, somehow you must learn to see positively, because you definitely must learn something from that in life. So your whole view of life must become positive with all you've got. Please keep focusing on that and keep expressing gratitude to whatever is happening.
Love it. Okay, Yogananda, for your many blessings, be thankful every day. Not only when the calendar indicates Thanksgiving time. The basis for your gratitude should not be material prosperity. Whether your worldly possessions be many or few, you are still rich in the gifts from God. Love Him, not for the outward things He may give you, but for His gift to you of Himself as your Father.
Here's a really short one from Arianna Huffington. Living in a state of gratitude is the gateway to grace.
Short and sweet.
Yep.
Okay. Mahatma Gandhi said, may the work of your hands be a sign of gratitude and reverence to the human condition. I cried because I had no shoes, and then I met a man who had no feet. My grandfather used to say that all the time. These words remind us to appreciate what we have, find contentment, and extend compassion to others.
Yeah, that one is really powerful.
This is one from Jesus Calling from April 16th. I saw this quote when you asked me to be a part of this call, so I knew I had to say yes. Even though it was well ahead month-wise, for some reason, this is what it said. I am calling you to a life of thankfulness. I want all your moments to be punctuated with thanksgiving. The basis for your gratitude is my sovereignty. I am the creator and the controller of the universe. Heaven and earth are filled with my glorious presence. Acknowledge my sovereignty by giving thanks in all circumstances.
I love that, and it's also my brother's birthday, April 16th, so there's something to that date.
There's something there.
So I have one from Louise Hay. I love her. Louise Hay says, I have noticed that the universe loves gratitude. The more grateful you are, the more goodies you get. When I say goodies, I don't mean only material things. I mean all the people, places, and experiences that make life so wonderfully worth living.
She's incredible. I love her talking about goodies.
I know.
So here's one from Rumi. Yeah, this one is from Rumi. And actually, this one reminds me of my husband. So be grateful for your life, every detail of it, and your faith will come to shine like a sun. And everyone who sees it will be made glad and peaceful. Doesn't that sound like Carrie?
I could just see his face shining in the sun. It is totally Carrie.
Yeah.
So here's a quote from Wayne Dyer. Be in a state of gratitude for everything that shows up in your life. Be thankful for the storms as well as the smooth sailing. What is the lesson or gift in what you are experiencing right now? Find joy not in what's missing in your life, but how you can serve. So true, right?
Yeah, because service is of the utmost importance.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one from Eckhart Tolle. Gratefulness for what is there is one of the most powerful tools for creating what is not yet there. What does gratefulness mean? It means you appreciate what is, you value, you give attention to, you honor whatever is here at this moment.
Love it. I have one from Rumi too, very short. Wear gratitude like a cloak and it will feed every corner of your life.
So true.
Yep.
And here's one that says, run your fingers like a prayer over every bit of the world, saying quietly with each breath, thank you for this chance to love. And that's unknown.
Oh, I love that one. Well, dear ones, it is time for us to start closing this beautiful call. And we are so grateful that you all took the time to be here with us tonight, even if just a tiny bit. Michelle and I, we truly hope that our time together has touched you in some way or another. I'd love to bring our angel Liza back to start us off with a closing prayer. Liza, are you with us?
I'm here. Thank you. Well, I'll add a quote as I start this prayer for us. Is it the right time, Wendy?
Yep. Okay. We're running a little over, yeah. So that's okay.
So here's the quote. It's by Teresa of Avila. That's for you, sweetheart. May there this evening be peace within. May you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use those gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be content knowing you are a child of God. Let this presence settle in your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing and to dance and to praise and to love. It is there for each and every one of us. Great healer, come. Come and be with each of us and every caller now. The door is open. Our hearts are open. As Wendy and Michelle have said, our hearts are open and we are willing and we choose to change our view, to see the cup not as empty or as full, but is overflowing with God. Always fill ourselves, our being with divine light and the light of love and surrendered gratitude. Come, great healer, Yeshua, Magdalene, Mary, come. Thank you. Your children have gathered in your name, under your wings, and are rejoicing to be of service, in service of a cosmic love that knows no other name but thank you. Thank you, God, for everything. Amen.
Wow, amen.
Yeah, thank you, Liza. You're such an angel. Michelle, could you help us with a closing prayer and then I'll follow?
Sounds good to me. Dear God, and all the great beings of light and love who are all here holding space and have been supporting us this evening, we thank you. May we all continue to seek your counsel and your everlasting love. And may the spark and flame of gratitude guide our actions, our thoughts, and may gratitude continue to live in our hearts so we can all create small moments of kindness. Blessed be. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michelle. You're awesome. And I really appreciate you. And now I'll close with this one last prayer. Thank you, God, Holy Spirit, Ron Ross, great compassionate light, and all of the healing angels for being on this call with us tonight. Thank you for dwelling in our hearts and our souls. Thank you for granting us the courage to face all that lies ahead, knowing that with you, all things are possible. Thank you for helping us to recognize all of the beauty and blessings that surround us. Thank you for the blessings of healing, prosperity, and abundance in all areas of all of our lives. Thank you for guiding our thoughts, our words, and our actions to help create peace in our daily lives and especially all around the world. May your light reflect your love, your kindness, and your compassion to all those on this call who will listen to this call and to all who come our way. And to all of your children here on earth. Thank you, God, for all of the blessings that you bestow upon us. May the good Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and give you his peace. Not just peace, but as they say in The Chosen, shalom, shalom, peace. This is the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And this concludes our call tonight. Michelle, I can't thank you enough for joining me. You were absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. And Liza. Yeah, Liza, thank you for your angelic prayers. And thank you, Padre, for the opportunity that you gave us to do this call. Michelle and I We're stoked. We're really happy. And
We're full of gratitude.
We are full of gratitude. Thank you, Meredith and Pat and MK. Thank you for supporting us to make this call happen tonight. We really appreciate all you guys do behind the scenes that nobody knows about. So sleep with the angels, dear ones, knowing that you are all deeply loved and appreciated. Good night, everyone.